Good evening. If we'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. This will be the main text that we'll focus on for tonight. Matthew chapter 2. People seek many things in life, whether if it's fame, fortune, happiness, etc., whatever it may be. However, to borrow the words from Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 42, only one thing is necessary, and that is to seek God. Paul told his listeners on Mars Hill that the Lord have given them all things, including life, breath, and all things that they may seek the Lord. Acts chapter 17, verses 25 to 27. In Psalm 63, verse 1, David prayed, O God, you are my God. I seek you earnestly. Moses told the Israelites to seek the Lord your God, and he assured them that you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and soul. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we encounter a group of men known as the wise men who sought the Lord with all their heart and soul. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2. Since this is a well-known event, I don't want to focus on the familiar facts. However, I want to ask the question, are we as wise as the wise men? Are we as wise as the wise men? God has no expectation for his people to celebrate the birthday of Christ, to set aside one specific day of the year in order to celebrate the birthday of Christ is not harmonious in the Christian life. Celebrating the birthday of Christ on one specific day of the year sends the message that only in that time of the year is it important to have the Spirit of Christ. And that is both a dangerous and false message to send out to people. Rather, we should live our lives every day in the knowledge that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ. Old Simeon said that Christ would be a light of the revelation to the Gentiles. Luke chapter 2, verse 32. He's not only supposed to be the Savior of Israel, but the Savior of the whole world. John chapter 4, verse 42. The event of the wise men underlines the universal implications of Christ's birth. Therefore, this evening, I would like for us to focus on the journey of the wise men. We will examine three significant points that we ought to consider from their journey so that we may apply it in our spiritual journey. We will discover what made these group of men so wise. In doing so, we may answer the question, are we as wise as the wise men? We can be. This brings us to our first point for tonight. We can be as wise as the wise men because they searched for Jesus. If you will, read with me and follow along in verses 1 through 6 of Matthew chapter 2. It says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. The wise men are also known as magi. Some different versions may say or use the word magi. Now, magi is the word from which we get the two English words magic and magician. In those days, magi were noted for their knowledge and perception. Thus, we often use the phrase wise men. And from their search, we see and examine that their search was not convenient. It says that the wise men came from the east, but we are not told specifically of their location. Many believe that they came from Arabia because of the gifts they brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But Persia might be more accurate because the majority of the magi flourished there. However, regardless of whether they came from Arabia, Babylonia, or Persia, we specifically do not know where they came, where the journey began. All we know is that they came from the east, so therefore we know that their journey was a long one. In ancient times, they would travel 20 miles a day. That's the average miles that they would travel in one day during ancient times, 20 miles. If they were from the east, that would mean that they had 800 miles total. So 800 divided by 20, that would lead us to 40 days. So their traveling probably, most likely, took a month and a week. Their travel was not convenient whatsoever. They sacrificed their time, money, and energy in their search for Christ. Those seeking Jesus today will discover that true discipleship demands no less. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If any man wants to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. True discipleship demands no less. They had to sacrifice their time. We have to sacrifice our time, energy, money, perhaps. True discipleship demands no less. A Sunday morning might be good enough for me. I don't need to go Sunday night or Wednesday night. Interestingly enough, we have been allocated 167 hours a week. Sadly, those in the church believe that only merely 5 to 8 hours a week is enough for the Lord out of 167 hours a week. And I'm not talking about our spiritual lives, our spiritual individual walk with Christ, because that's another thing that we ought to sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Offer ourselves as spiritual sacrifices. But I'm talking about as an assembly. Some people think just merely a 2 or 3 hour Sunday morning is good enough out of 167. True discipleship demands no less. And these men were wise because they took a month and a week of traveling in their search for Christ. They sacrificed what they had. It is God who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in our heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The idea of fellowship is the prominent thought. Every spiritual blessing we receive are ours only through our fellowship in Christ Jesus. They are found nowhere else. We also read in verse 2 that their search required humility. When the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, they asked the people where the newborn king was residing. Their true wisdom lay not in their decades of study, but in the grasp of what is truly important to them. They wanted to know where he was. They didn't want to use their own studies because they didn't know where he was. That's why they're searching for him. They want to find Christ. They did not know where he was. So what did they do? They asked. They were so eager and wanting to find him that they asked because they knew what was truly important to them. They were persistent searchers for the King of the Jews. Whether or not a person is highly intelligent or well-educated, if he is diligently seeking the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is wise. Those seeking Jesus today must also have a humble heart and ask questions from those who possess more knowledge. And a good example that we see is Philip and the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Philip approaches the eunuch and says, "Dost thou understandest what thou readest?" And he says, "No, how can I understand unless someone teaches me?" Who is this prophet referring to? Is he referring to another prophet? Is he referring to himself? That right there is when Philip used that, specifically from Isaiah chapter 53, and he taught him Christ. He wanted to know. He wanted to truly find Christ. So he asked. Our search requires humility and a humble heart. James thus wrote in James chapter 1, verse 21, "And humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." In humility, receive it. In humility, receive the word which is implanted, so that it will save your soul. Their search, lastly, created a stir in verse 3. The question asked by the wise men upset Herod, who felt threatened by a contender to his throne. It also upset the people who wanted to maintain the status quo, preventing Herod from any more outbursts of violence. The people had witnessed so many of Herod's calamities that when a competitor was suspected, they seemed to have dreaded new scenes of blood being shedded all over the place. They didn't want that to happen. They wanted to maintain the status quo to keep people at peace. Fear was among them. It created a worldwide stir around this area, that is. The people were troubled rather than joyful about this because, interestingly enough, again, these are the Jews. These are the Jews who knew about the Messiah who's to come. Rather than being joyful that their Messiah has arrived, what happened? They had their heads down in shame and fear, trembling, because Herod heard the news, and they didn't want any more violence or outbursts of wrath among the people. In a similar way, when one searches for Jesus today, it sometimes upsets others who are content with their lifestyle. Whether if it's a fellow relative, a friend, a close friend, a coworker, maybe even your boss. Maybe your boss is one who doesn't like Christians to begin with. Finding out that you're one who is searching for Christ, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. He doesn't like it. Are you willing to stand up to know that persecution will come across? Knowing that your search for Christ will create a stir among your family, among your friends, maybe even at school, at your workplace? Are you willing to maintain that spiritual journey? After all, light has the tendency to expose darkness, does it not? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 14. Lastly, this point leads up to our second point, major point, is that their search relied upon the scriptures, in verses 4 through 6. In order to answer their question, which again has been spreading throughout all of Jerusalem, Herod consulted with the Jewish leaders. And they knew from the scriptures that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, specifically from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Those who want to follow Christ today must consult the scriptures that witness him. That's what made the men at Berea very, very unique. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. It's because that they didn't only just soak in what they heard, but they wanted to find out for themselves. So what did they do? They searched the scriptures. Because again, interestingly enough, The scriptures is what's going to judge us in the end. John chapter 12, verse 48. And it is by the scriptures that testify of Christ and that gives us eternal life. In our search for Christ, we must come to the Word, because in the Word, we have access to eternal life. John chapter 5, verse 39. Therefore, this brings us to our second point, is that we can be wise as the wise men because they found Christ. They found Christ. In verses 7 through 11, if you will, read with me. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother. The Magi found Jesus. It is always thrilling to find what we are seeking, whether it is an unknown destination or just some keys that we lost in the couch. Luke 15 tells us of the joy experienced by a shepherd and by a woman who sought that which was lost and found it. The shepherd lost a sheep, but he found it. A woman lost a coin, but she found it. What was the result? Look with me again in verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced in exceeding great joy. Why? They found him. They found where he was. See, their mind wasn't on the affliction or the pain from their journey. They didn't care about how long the journey was. Why? Because they have found what they were searching for. And they rejoiced with great joy, is what the passage says. With great joy, they found the Messiah, the one whom they were searching for all this time. They have found the Messiah. Years before Christ was born, David had told his son Solomon, in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. If thou seek him, you will find him. Because the Magi sought Jesus in the right way, with the right attitude, God made sure that they found him. Now, knowing that God hasn't given us a physical star, that was done supernaturally for the Magi, but however, he has given us a heavenly illumination, that is, his word. Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as that old hymn of ours goes, to guide me safely home. We are guided by the word of God to heaven. We are guided by the word to find Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Magi knew that. That is what made them wise. At last, coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Verse 11a. Imagine the joy they experienced when they found the one whom they had sought for so long. Again, Luke 15 tells us, the woman that lost the coin and the shepherd that lost the sheep. Again, I want to go back to that example I used about losing keys. Especially when we're in such a hurry, we tend to lose the keys. But then when you finally found the keys, just think about it. How are you feeling? You're feeling relieved, aren't you? Finally got the keys. You get everything and you're going. Sadly, some today just don't see that the same with Christ. Sadly. Why is it that when we find a pair of keys, all they do is just help you start a car and they make a nice jingling noise? Why do we get so overjoyed by finding that, but we can't be so overjoyed when we discover something so extraordinary in the Word of God? When anyone seeks the Lord in the right way with the right attitude, God will also help that person to find Him. Then after they have found Him, that is, being baptized into Christ Jesus for the remission of sins, He will then be able to say, just as Philip said, "I have found Him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." John chapter 1, verse 45. Like the wise men, he can rejoice with inexpressible and full of glory. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Are we as wise as the wise men? Are we full of joy that the very next thing we do is exactly what the Magi did? And that leads us to our last point of the evening, is that we can be as wise as the wise men because they worshiped Jesus. That was their result. They rejoiced and worshiped Jesus. Look with me at the last portion of verse 11. It says, "And fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." They did not seek the King of the Jews so they could boast that they had solved a divine puzzle. They announced that they had come to worship him in the very beginning. Verse 2. When they saw him, they fell to the ground and worshiped him. They gave him the adoration he deserved as King of Kings. And here's the interesting fact right here. You all will love this. They did more than just bow before him, however. It says, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There are some symbolic significance in these gifts. You see, gold in ancient times was fit for a king. Precious jewels, that is what a king desired for. Gold, it was fit for a king, especially in ancient times. Now, frankincense is exactly how you hear the word. It was used for incense, frankincense. It was used for the burning of incense that was fitted for a high priest. And now myrrh, this is what I find very interesting. Myrrh was used to prepare a body for burial. Can you believe that? A savior. And Christ fits all three of those descriptions. He is our King of Kings. He is our High Priest. And He is our Savior. See, these gifts meant something. The representation was significant. It wasn't just because of what they specifically were, but it's what they represented that made them very special. They were an expression of the wise men's desire to do homage to their king. True worship and giving cannot be separated. The Old Testament had its sacrifices. The New Testament has its free will offerings on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Have you no gold, frankincense, or myrrh? Then give the Lord the best that you have. First, give yourself. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Then give that which is yours. And always give him your best. Because in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, we read that David would not give to the Lord that which was not the best. He did not. If it was not the best, he did not give it. 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. Tonight we have focused on three significant points that made the wise men very wise. We can be just as wise as the wise men were because they searched for Jesus, they found Jesus, and they worshiped Jesus. They searched for Jesus, which takes humility, which will create a stir, knowing that persecution will arise when we search for Jesus, knowing that they searched for Jesus through the written word of God, because it is through the word that gives us eternal life, and it's through the word that's going to judge us on the last day. Are we searching for Jesus through the word? Are we? Have we been searching for Jesus in the wrong directions of our lives? They found Jesus through the word. They rejoiced. When you find Jesus Christ in his holy written word, are you providing the same expression as the wise men? Are you rejoicing that it leads you to worship him? Offering your spiritual sacrifices? Worshiping him in spirit and in truth? Offering to him the best that you have? Are we truly doing that? Are we going the extra mile for Christ? If not, then he is not pleased. What does Christ say to those who did miraculous gifts, cast out demons in your name, did all wonderful works? He says, I do not know you, you workers of lawlessness. They didn't go the extra mile. They didn't do what was according to the will of the Father. They did it for their own boastful glory. A few days ago, as I was finishing up my Christmas shopping, I talk about the last minute, I apologize. But as I was walking in the mall, there was a 7-year-old girl who was with her dad. And her dad was, I assume that he, you know, they were done Christmas shopping because he was browsing through, you know, just some clothes. And his daughter looked at him and said, Daddy, Christmas is about giving, not about our wants. Can you imagine that? A 7-year-old girl. And I'll be honest, that put a big smile on my face. No wonder Christ tells us to be like a child. And sometimes children teach us a lot of things. Christmas is about giving. And interestingly enough, and even sadly enough, when people celebrate the birthday of Christ, they tend to leave out the most important part, the giving of his own life. God sent his son. That was God's purpose, the Father's purpose in the very beginning. That was his plan. That was his plan, to give his son that all nations might be blessed. And in doing so, through the death of his son, we have gained access to his grace, to salvation. By first hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. For hearing comes, or faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And after hearing the word of God, just as it says, we will have faith. We may gain the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We must believe that he is the Son of God. We must also repent of our sins, willing to turn away from this world, to focus on Christ. Again, denying ourselves. That's one part of searching for Christ, is denying ourselves. It involves humility. Denying ourselves and following him. Confessing our faith before witnesses that he is the Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. And then being baptized for the remission of sins. Being added to his church. Rejoicing, as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. And then saying the exact same words as Philip did in John 1:45. I have found him. Maybe one here tonight who's haven't obeyed the gospel yet. Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, having your sins washed away. Maybe one here tonight who is probably searching, who has searched for Christ in the wrong directions, who has stopped relying on the word of God to be their guide through their Christian life. Well, what's lovingly important is that Christ, one who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins as long as we confess those sins, and his blood will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. If we can help you in any way, whether from needing to obey the gospel or coming forward to repent and confess of your sins, if we can help you in any way, please remember, am I wise as the wise men were? Are we searching for Christ? Have we found Christ? And are we worshiping Christ? If we can help you in any way, then we encourage you to come forward together as we stand and as we sing.